Hello, my name is Adam Thier. I'm a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. This is a presentation on network economics and net neutrality regulation. In an earlier presentation, Jerry Brito, also of the Mercatus Center, discussed net neutrality as an engineering principle. You should consult that slideshow for more background if needed. The goals of this presentation are as follows. I want to couch the debate over net neutrality regulation in a broader economic context by exploring basic network economics and discussing traditional forms of network regulation, and then outlining the case for and against economic regulation of broadband networks through net neutrality mandates. First, let's discuss some basic network economics. The value of any network grows in proportion to the number of its users. Basically, the more users, the more success and or profitability. Also, networks tend to be high fixed cost, low marginal cost goods. That is, the initial investment to serve consumers is significant, but the cost to serve each additional marginal customer is very low, perhaps even zero, after that initial investment is made. Here's another way to look at that. Again, the cost of the initial investment to serve a community, say with just a couple of homes, is likely to be quite high and fixed regardless of the initial number of subscribers that take the service. However, as each new subscriber comes online, costs become fairly trivial at the margin. That is, adding another household after the initial ones is going to be much less expensive. These high fixed costs, low marginal cost realities lead some to claim that broadband is a natural monopoly and that we should apply public utility style regulation to it. Most net neutrality proponents propose to regulate the core of broadband networks to quarantine them and their supposed monopoly power to protect companies and technologies at the edge of networks. Stated differently, this is an application of what's called Baxter's Law or the Bell Doctrine to broadband. Baxter's Law is named after William Baxter, who was an economist who served in the antitrust division during the Reagan administration. Basically, as applied to AT&T during that period, the idea of Baxter's Law, or the so-called Bell Doctrine, is to quarantine the supposed monopolistic segment of a network through some sort of structural separation or administrative regulation, and then to free up the rest of the network. So in this case, for old telecommunications networks, specifically Ma Bell, the AT&T system, it was the local loop or the local transmission services that AT&T provided that were quarantined and considered monopolistic. Long distance was largely deregulated, as were devices and equipment. This same model can be seen in the electricity world, where generation and transmission, although not completely deregulated, are far less regulated than local distribution, which is tightly regulated and even price controlled. Baxter's Law would essentially be applied to broadband networks through net neutrality regulation. Internet service providers would be quarantined and regulated as natural monopolies, whereas websites and applications and devices and equipment would be, at least in theory, largely left deregulated. There would be a requirement for ISPs of fair and non-discriminatory service and pricing, and likely some sort of mandate for universal service across the entire territory that that ISP served. In other words, net neutrality regulation is really an extension of traditional common carriage regulation and or public utility style regulation. The model would be some sort of a hybrid between electricity, our postal service, and the highway system. So what are some of the arguments against this sort of net neutrality regulation of broadband networks? Well, since deregulation in the mid-1990s, broadband competition has continued. Competition exists in most areas between at least two wireline competitors, plus there's intermodal competition from wireless providers. Both cellular services and satellite services continue to innovate. So in this market, it's at least duopolistic, and the threat of new entry and innovation remains very real. So is that a contestable market? Is it competitive enough to allow for deregulation if it's duopoly or even oligopoly? Net neutrality proponents say no, it isn't, and they demand regulation. Net neutrality opponents say yes, and they raise the issue of future investment and or innovation. Specifically, there are two major investment considerations raised by net neutrality regulation. First, how should broadband services be managed and new investments paid for? And second, what impact does net neutrality regulation have on those future investments and network quality? Generally speaking, net neutrality regulation would limit the ability of ISPs to manage traffic and congestion directly. For example, video and peer-to-peer services place an enormous burden on networks, especially wireless networks, but net neutrality regulation prohibits carriers from managing such traffic by curbing or shaping its use. Proponents of net neutrality regulation argue it would be unjust and discriminatory too shaped traffic or curbed or limited, and that would hinder innovation at the edge of broadband networks. But if net neutrality regulation limits traffic management, what are carriers to do? Well, it's likely to lead carriers to manage traffic using price discrimination techniques instead, such as tiered-based pricing, usage-based pricing, some sort of Ramsey two-part tariff where you have a flat rate for a certain amount of services and charges over that amount, and then maybe even data caps, which is what a lot of broadband carriers are using today to limit overall bandwidth usage by consumers. Now, many net neutrality proponents argue that usage-based pricing of any form is unnecessary or represents unjust discrimination. Net neutrality opponents, on the other hand, argue flexible pricing is necessary to cover the significant fixed costs associated with network investment and ongoing innovation. There's a few other considerations that mostly net neutrality opponents raise. Regulatory capture is something that many people are concerned with, since the Federal Communications Commission has a fairly long and ugly history of regulatory capture. There's also bureaucratic sloth problems, which is that the FCC as a regulatory agency just tends to move much slower than the industries it regulates. There's also First Amendment considerations here, because we're regulating speech platforms, and that raises questions about editorial discretion of platform owners. And then finally, there's the question of self-regulation. Are there voluntary multi-stakeholder approaches to creating engineering standards for the internet? Can watchdog groups and academic oversight help in this context? Net neutrality opponents say yes. So the net neutrality debate will likely to continue to be a heated issue for many years to come. If you're interested in doing some additional research on the issue, here's some leading books from net neutrality proponents as well as skeptics.